You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we're going to be talking about a topic I know so little about that I'm excited to dig into it. It's the topic of influencer marketing, and you might think that this is a new topic in the age of social media, but I was sort of digging around, thinking back to before the advent of social media, what sort of influencers existed? And, you know, there have been many throughout history. As I was poking around the web trying to find, you know, endorsements and how early on I could find an example in marketing or advertising of endorsements from famous figures, I found endorsements from the Pope and from the Queen back in the, you know, 18th century. So this is not necessarily a new thing. It's simply the medium which is new that we're going to be mostly talking about. And to cover this topic, I'm so thankful that we have somebody who actually knows the topic, Sam Adams, who is joining us from Utah, where she runs a marketing agency called Sunflower Agencies. Sam, welcome.
Hi, so nice to be here, David. I appreciate you.
So, okay, I gave a little context because the first thing that so many people think about these days when we talk about marketing is online marketing. And obviously, this is not, you know, a new approach to marketing using the endorsements of famous people or even people who have influence in a certain community or certain sphere. And so I wanted to start there because it's important to always remember that while these are kind of new platforms in the scheme of things, the concept of leveraging somebody's influence over others or the ability to get endorsement or utilize somebody's notoriety is not new.
No.
And so I'm sort of curious to get a little bit of background from you into how you got into this space, because you've been doing it for a while and then started an agency really focusing on it as well. So why don't we start with your story?
Yeah. So many, many moons ago, I was working for an advertising agency that specialized in Kickstarter campaigns like crowdfunding, where they were brand new. No one knew anything about them. And it was our job to get them funded within 30 days. So I started as just a regular bottom of the rung marketing coordinator and then ended up working my way up to being the director of public relations for that company and built this network. We call it an influencer network now, but back then we didn't really know what it was. But it was basically I could send out an email to all of these different outlets and people on social media and say, hey, I have this new product. Can you post about it for me this week? I'll give you 10% of however much money you bring in when you post about this campaign. That network ended up doing 2.5 million in 12 months when I was with that agency. And so I was like, okay, well, there's something here. I have no idea what it is, but it's doing really well. And I can make quite a bit of money doing this. So I left that job and went to the corporate world and worked for a big essential oil agency for a couple years, ended up becoming their manager of brand and influence. So working with like a big corporate budget, doing the same thing, just finding people in the social media world to promote the product, talk about it, kind of give it some validity in the social media space, and got tired of making other people a lot of money when I realized I could do it myself and do it a little bit better. So then I started my company in the midst of COVID when everyone was working from home, and really influencer marketing kind of catapulted into this new dimension when everyone was forced to get all of their information like online even more than we already did. And so we saw a rise in all of these interactions on social media, and my agency just kind of went 0 to 100 really freaking fast that year.
That's both awesome and I'm imagining a little scary as well.
Terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But you know, I don't really learn any other way than going 0 to 100. So it kind of forced me to buckle in and really nail down what I was doing.
So maybe you can give us an intro to influencer marketing, sort of a 101 level, because I think, you know, the first time that I saw
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now back to the show.
The term was introduced around Instagram, and you go and you pay somebody to like post on your behalf. And I was like, gosh, that's a little shady. This is like, and what do these platforms think about people using that? And I just had no idea. Like, I thought it was not legitimate. And then over the course of a couple of years, it's really become a channel that has taken on its own life, and obviously building an agency around this approach. Clearly there's something there, right? So, but that's not the only version of influencer marketing. And so I wonder if you can sort of give us sort of the landscape of it.
Yeah. So you're absolutely correct. It initially started where companies would pay people to just post about their product. Didn't matter if they liked it, didn't matter if they used it all the time. And that market got very saturated very quickly. And people with all these followers, their followers would say, I know you're just getting paid to post about this thing, so I'm not going to buy it because I know you're just making a paycheck. So we saw this really interesting evolution over the last probably 3 or 4 years, where we've had to get very targeted and very aligned with all these influencers that we want to work with. So sometimes it's, yes, I will pay you to post about this product, but I know it's because you already use it. So then we'll create this collaboration where we do these long-term brand and product collaborations with someone who already is in the space. But I can't just approach Tiger Woods and ask him to post about an essential oil company if he doesn't ever talk about essential oils. And people got really good at poking these holes in all of these campaigns that we were doing, and just the ROI was just tanking.
Yeah.
And so we had to get really, really good at sourcing these influencers that fit in that kind of column that we were working in. But then it shifted into not only just working with people, but connecting brands with other brands too. Sunflower Agencies does that a lot. We find a brand will approach us and say, hey, we want to do a social media campaign potentially with influencers. And it's shifted to not just working with people, but saying, hey, this brand also lives in this same space that you do. Why don't we do a product collaboration? Why don't we do something together? And then we capitalize on both audiences to promote the product. But all people see are just two companies, instead of saying, oh, this person speaks for this product. And so the evolution and the change has been so fascinating. But at the end of the day, it really is finding people who have a good social media presence to work on your product with you and to promote it on social media.
Got it. It's really not any different from any other sort of marketing channels out there, right? You want to be as targeted as you possibly can. Otherwise, you're wasting a lot of money and effort.
Yes.
And so, you know, it makes total sense to find the right alignment, the right partners, rather than simply the overall exposure, which I think is.
Yeah. You know, and we had to learn that the hard way, for sure. I mean, there were a couple of times where we found an influencer that we thought would be a good fit and just no one bought it. And we thought we could get away with them kind of existing in the same space, and people saw right through us. But then there are these little, not little, they have a smaller following. They're called micro influencers, and they have a significantly less following than all of these top tier influencers do. But their audience is so much more concentrated that they actually come back and continue to purchase. And so we use micro influencers a lot when we launch products, because their audience is so polarized, because they'll follow this person until to the ends of the earth. Yeah. So we use micro influencers probably more than we use big time influencers. Honestly, it's crazy how much the landscape has changed. Because 2 years ago, if you had told me we were paying someone with 10,000 followers to do a product placement, I would have told you were crazy. Like, we would never touch anyone over 100,000 followers typically.
Okay. So, and you bring up an interesting point, because, you know, a lot of what, I recommend to businesses, and as I train agencies to do this work with businesses as well, is to look at the different channels and the profitability within each channel. And so obviously you were able to identify with certain types of influencers they're not actually getting the return on investment that they had hoped for. And counterintuitively, somebody who is smaller is actually bringing them more revenue.
Correct. Yeah. But that's something, if you haven't existed in the space for as long as someone like I have, you would never know. I mean, it's so easy to just say, oh, this person's charging $5,000 for an influencer post and has this conversion rate or whatever. I'll just do that. But in reality, you look at a list of all the people we've worked with before, and there's someone who has significantly better stats. You just wouldn't know where to look, you know? So it's just purely based on experience. Also, you'll have to forgive me. I live downtown right in Salt Lake, and someone's car alarm is going off and it's driving me absolutely insane. So I know you can hear it too, but I'm hoping they get there. Crap figured out in the next couple minutes.
Quite right. We're having a stellar conversation nonetheless, and we can hardly hear it. So what I was sort of thinking about as we were talking about the ability to gauge ROI is tracking. How do you actually know the success of a campaign through an influencer? What are the mechanisms that you use to help identify that stuff?
Wonderful question. My bread and butter with my agency is we'll just give them a custom Bitly tracking link that they can throw in their caption for their posts and in their bio on all their social handles. That gives me access to a real-time dashboard where I can see how many clicks this link is getting, what time of the day are they visiting, what demographic is visiting this post. And so I get to take that to the client and say, look at this really awesome campaign we had. But I also utilize the influencer's own analytics from their dashboard. And these days they know that agencies will typically ask for that. So they give it to me in a report, but I'll be able to say, hey, influencer, can you please send me your analytics for the week of this post so we can pair it with our analytics and deliver it to the client? Because they're not going to keep getting paid if they can't deliver solid analytics.
Yeah.
And so we typically handle the Bitly, and then the influencer will handle their own backend analytics.
So you use the term brand when you started to explain who the client is you work on behalf of. But I think there's a range of business types, some of whom don't consider themselves brand, right? That's a maybe an enterprise term. A large business considers itself a brand. But you've also worked with small local businesses as well. Can you talk a little bit about what types of businesses this approach is and perhaps isn't appropriate for?
I mean, that's a loaded question because I think anyone can use influencer marketing, right? It just depends on how you approach it. So for these smaller businesses that we worked with, influencer marketing is also incredible for brand validity and brand awareness, not necessarily sales. Sales is still a wonderful KPI and something we always try to hit, but as a business, especially as a new business and a small business, you want people to trust you and follow you and feel like you have clout in this space that you exist in. So I've done lots of influencer campaigns for new companies where we just pair them with local influencers or smaller influencers in the space that either use their service or their product, where other people who might not be in their sales funnel right now can see the company. They're like, oh, this company also exists like in the social media space. I thought they were just business to business or software sales or whatever. And it creates this new paradigm where the customer, potential client will say, oh, I remember seeing them here. So-and-so posted about them. They liked it. And automatically it makes them more likely to purchase that service or product because they saw it somewhere else. So by proxy, we're creating this system of brand validation and reputation where customers habitually will come back and say, oh, I remember seeing that, and then they'll purchase. And so we've done campaigns for local coffee shops all the way up to campaigns for Ace Hardware and the Super Bowl. I mean, the range is just absolutely insane when it comes to influencer marketing. And the lucrative part of it is just dialing in what you want to accomplish and what your budget is. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's going to be the big driving factor, right? But yeah, for small businesses who haven't really touched it before, it's a wonderful way to get your product out to people who might not be able to see it otherwise.
So there's a different approach, I think, in a larger corporate environment where, you know, you're given an annual budget and your job is to spend that budget and make sure that, you know, you have evidence that the money was spent, right? And to their detriment, all too often, large organizations like that we'll see success with a campaign, but the budget's been spent. So, oh, well, we just can't spend anymore. And that means no more sales, even though there's a positive ROI, right? Whereas the small business is at the kind of the other end of the spectrum where they're like, gosh, I really should be. And this is a mistake I think a lot of businesses tend to make. I should be focusing on stuff that is going to be what we marketers refer to as direct response, right? Where we're getting an action from the prospect or the consumer as a result of what we're doing. But what you're talking about here is that there's the ability to supplement that with influencer marketing that gets exposure beyond that, that validates the legitimacy of the business and that sort of thing. So, I went to this question about tracking earlier, and I'm curious how you sort of, you want to keep that client. You want to keep that client paying you to continue to validate their existence. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question as well. So there is absolutely a direct response from influencer marketing. We can track sales. If you source the right influencers, the ROI is incredible. And so that's why a lot of people have started using it, because they can see the direct response from it. But social media is such, it's the wild, wild west out there these days. It is absolutely insane. And not a lot of people, I mean, if you look at these big corporate companies, they have entire departments that run their social media marketing, because there's just so much to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not a short game anymore. It's definitely a long-term game that we have to really prioritize and strategize our business around. And so with a client, typically, I mean, if we're going to do one influencer campaign, that's 3 to 4 months, because we need to make sure everything is in a row and everything is in place. And so we have this initial post that this influencer does, but then that content lives on their feed forever. And we can cycle it through. We can utilize it on other platforms. So not only are you getting this one influencer post, if you do it right, you can have that post featured in other places on other platforms. You can then take that user generated content and run ads with it because it performs so well. And we have that influencer as the face of it. And so there are so many aspects and facets to influencer marketing that sometimes a client will come to me and be like, I know I want to do it, but I have no idea how. I'm like, okay, well, let's look and see, what do you want to accomplish? Is it sales? Is it brand reputation? And then we create this plan where we can either continue running a cycle of an influencer campaign, but we get a different influencer every single time and just cycle through new content that way. Or we use one hero influencer and have them post once a month for 12 months because they bring in so many sales when they do. And on the flip side, that's how a lot of influencers make their money, is they sign these brand deals or these product deals for a recurring post every month for 12 months. Mm-hmm. And they're charging $3,000 per post. And so they're raking in thousands of dollars. They only have to make one post about it, but they make the company 3 times that in sales every time they post. So it's a very like mutually beneficial relationship, but it's turned into this thing where you have to have a long-term play. You can't just do these one-off posts anymore. Mm-hmm. Because then followers of the influencer will say, well, you only posted about this thing once. Now I know you're getting paid for it, instead mm-hmm. of this continuous brand thing that we have going on. So it's definitely teaching all of these clients that this is not just a one hat trick thing. It's mm-hmm. it's a long-term play, you know, that I'm here to teach you how to do and walk you through.
So, you dropped an interesting concept early in that answer, which was about repurposing the stuff. Now, I think a lot of businesses don't even repurpose their own content that they create. And so I'm sure that, very few have ever thought, I've never thought of this idea of, paying to have an influencer. Actually, now that I'm saying this out loud, I'm thinking about a time when I had a client who had a celebrity doing like a signing at an event, and then we took photographs, and then we've been using those photographs forever. So it's actually the same thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So, you should be talking about this, not me.
Apparently, I know a little bit more about influencer marketing than I thought. So,
and everyone usually does. It's not, I mean, you can find all the information and all the things that I do online. It's not new information. There are just certain people who have existed in the space longer, like I have, for a long time, who just know how to do it good and do it quickly. And so mm-hmm. a lot of people will pay for time, because time is incredibly valuable, and they want someone who can come in, do it, and be done, instead of have someone sit at a desk for you know, 4 days trying to figure out the best thing to look for in an influencer.
Sure. You know? Well, there's trial and error that people want to avoid. You have done it, and you probably have relationships, or you have, you know, the path to establish a relationship quickly because you know where, you know, the influencers hang out. You know, the things like going rates or whatever else there is in your business that you know, we mere mortals don't know. And so there is that ability to help a business get what they're after a lot faster and without making the mistakes that, you know, you probably made very early on when you started, figured it out a lot faster. And then,
you know, yes, we don't need to talk about all of those, but yeah, like I said earlier, like the only way I learned is by baptism by fire. So yeah. I've made some huge missteps in my career, but I wouldn't have been able to learn those lessons any other way.
So let's talk a little bit about this concept of the integration, the relationship that's long-term. I was reading, you know, not too long ago, gosh, the book must be like 20 years old now, Mark Joyner's book about integration marketing, mm-hmm. where it talks, you know, a good amount about, here's an example of this. Microsoft built its entire business around integration into, you know, other people's hardware. And they basically had another business that was selling their first sale, and then they would only be responsible for customer retention, right? Mm-hmm. You also have integration with, I don't know, fast food chains that do deals with, you know, movies and sell, you know, give away action figures to the kids in their, you know, kids' meals or whatever they are. It's been a long time since I've been to one of those places. So I imagine that, you know, aside from the long-term contract, that there's some other extension of that relationship that can happen with influencers as well. How could that work?
Yeah, in our field, we call it purchase by association, which is what I was talking about earlier with those smaller companies. And so let's say Ace Hardware, for example, one of the campaigns we did for them last summer was, it was called the Someday campaign, where you always say you're going to do like a DIY home project someday, mm-hmm. but we did this campaign and it was Someday. So we got all of these influencers to do a project on Someday. We had them post about it. Ace was the provider of all the paint, the tools, blah, blah. It was this big 2 or 3 week process where we covered each influencer doing this DIY project. We loved working with these influencers so much, and they were so wonderful with Ace. We actually did another campaign a couple months later with Traeger for the summer for 4th of July, but Traeger mm-hmm. is sold in Ace. And so it was this really interesting process and circle to see, because we were like, well, we already have all these wonderful influencers. The KPIs and the ROIs were amazing. Let's copy paste this into a new campaign, but with Traeger instead. But then Ace wanted to hop on board. And then all these other people wanted to hop on board because they saw this campaign do great. And so it turned into, okay, now it's not a DIY. Now it's like a big summer barbecue. Who can we bring in for like food? Who can we bring in for entertainment? And so because we created this validity with this previous campaign, we were able to scale at an absolutely astronomical rate because it had done so well, but we already had this established relationship. Hey, you did really good with this campaign. Do you want another contract for another placement? Every single influencer said yes. And so now I know a couple of them are on retainer with Ace as well, because they just fit the company values and the messaging so well. And so that can be copied and replicated with every partnership I've ever done. People will see, oh, this did really well. I want to do the same thing. Oh, this influencer did this. I want them to do it for me too. And so when people see it automatically, it just creates a response in their brain and they recognize it. And that's what I think a lot of people don't understand about the value of influencer marketing. We can track if you click on the Bitly link from the social post to if they purchase, but I would say there's probably still a 30% increase of people who will see the post, navigate away from it, and then come back later and purchase it because they remembered it. And so there's this whole extra group of people who like, oh, well, I saw that ad for those gym shoes that I really like. I don't need them right now. They maybe click on the ad, but then they navigate away, comes back up in their feed, or they remember it because they saw it in a store, then they'll go back and purchase. And so direct response is amazing to track, but I wish so badly we could like track the people who decide they want it later, because the numbers would just absolutely blow people away. But oh, that's sure. the value of social media, you know? Yeah. And it's such a massive part of marketing these days. I mean, if you're not utilizing it, you're missing out on so much revenue, so much revenue.
There's you bring this up about, you know, people who are nurtured for a long time in, you know, one regard or another. And when they finally convert in the auto industry, the auto sales industry in normal times, not COVID times, majority of sales are something like, you know, 8 to 12 months in the future after somebody has that first connection with a dealer. Right. So yes, it would be great to be able to, you know, track that future conversion. And it's, you know, it's not as easy, but
totally. So, but social media by like association, it's instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed like when you decide you want to buy something, you start seeing it everywhere?
Yes.
Especially with cars. I decided I wanted a car and then I saw it driving on the street every single day. I had mm-hmm. never seen it before. Right. But once it's in our mind, once we make that initial connection, we're going to see it everywhere until we finally, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, all right, I'm in a cave. I got by an Instagram ad and I finally go back and I purchase it.
Yep.
But it's that instant, we're able to get in front of so many people so much faster. And the beautiful part of influencer marketing is we can tap into audiences and markets that we wouldn't have access to otherwise. These would die to follow this person audience. If they say they bought it, I'm going to buy it because I want to be like this person. It's mm-hmm. just absolutely incredible to see the impact that these people have on social media with purchasing power.
So you have a narrow scope of the areas that you play in, but you've described like the Traeger Ace relationship, which obviously could extend well beyond the areas that you're playing in.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm curious how, and this could apply to a small business too. I mean, the coffee shop or, you know, some local event facility or something. How do you help coordinate and make sure that you're, you know, playing nicely with the other support, you know, agencies that they're working in other channels, or for a small business that, you know, they're aware of the opportunity to leverage what you're doing outside of the lanes that you're in?
Yeah. So typically influencer marketing works really well with social media management. My company also does social media management, so we can integrate the two on both of our ends, but let's just use the example of the small coffee shop. They bring me in, they want to do a small influencer campaign where I find a couple local influencers to post some pictures at the coffee shop to direct people to go get some coffee. Mm-hmm. So I have a meeting with the owner and their social media person. And I say, okay, so these influencers, it's their profession to post beautiful social media content. So in our contracts, we always ask for permission to repurpose the influencer's content later in marketing efforts. I talk to the social media manager and I say, okay, you're going to get 3 in-feed photos, 2 stories. I need you to repost every single thing that this person posts about when they do their campaigns. It's going to add validity and also create interaction on both the channels from all the people who follow. But then later, take that picture that the influencer posted, do a post the following week and say, we loved having so-and-so in for coffee. If you saw them last week, come in this week. We'll give you 10% off your first cup. So then we're using this content that they already posted to continue riding that wave. Mm-hmm. And we can also learn from the influencers of what content's performing the best. If the influencer posted a photo that the coffee shop hadn't even considered yet, but it did the best, we need to be making more of that content and copying that same cadence. And so it's a lot of people will get very like threatened by influencer marketing, which I think is really funny, because the only thing I'm doing is just trying to give you more content to post on your social media channels. But if you don't understand it, it can be like, this girl's coming in and like trying to capitalize on my feed, right? But if you're really good at influencer marketing, you find influencers who already fit the brand guide and the vibe of the client that they're trying to work with. And so for smaller companies like the coffee shop, I would just say, let's continue it to keep an eye on what's performing the best, but these influencers are here to help give their audience to you. We just need to figure out how to keep them here and what's working for them. So if this is a coffee influencer and they're posting about a coffee shop, I guarantee you're already going to get more customers, But let's capitalize and say, if you follow so-and-so on Instagram, make sure you follow us, show us when you get to the counter, and we'll give you 10% off your first cup of coffee or 10% off of a bag of coffee or whatever. And so it's all about that strategy and kind of talking about where we can synchronize and how we can help each other the most.
You've been talking a good bit about people who I think are professionally, you know, positioned themselves as influencers. That's the business that they've built. But I imagine that there's still plenty of industries or areas where there aren't professional influencers, all over the place, but there are people who are influential in that space you could approach. How does that relationship get started with somebody who isn't necessarily in the business of being an influencer?
I actually love working with those people the most because they're usually the most flexible. I mean, the influencer space is so saturated right now that the prices have just been completely inflated when it comes to paying for a post. And so when I'm approaching someone who has enough followers to technically be considered an influencer, but maybe isn't taking monthly retainers or doing deals all the time, this is where sourcing comes in. I'm like, what do you like to do? What's something that you would love to already post about on your feed, but hey, maybe let's create a relationship where you can like get paid to do this or get a discount on it because you're already using it, right? I go to the same coffee shop downtown like 3 times a week. I would love to get to be able to like post about them once a week and get a discount on my coffee, you know, but I don't have nearly enough followers to do that. But what we do is my team will look under hashtag sourcing and see what local influencers or what local Instagram accounts are posting about being in these places or these things a lot. And we'll go look at their profile. And we have this software on our browsers where it will show us their analytics. How many people are commenting on their posts? How many followers do they have? How many times do they post a week? And then it's really easy for me to send a message and say, hey, I see that you typically go to Mill Creek Coffee a couple times a week and you post about it. They're looking for a brand collaboration. We would love for you to do a post for them. We'll give you free coffee for 2 weeks if you want to do it. And that's typically how it starts, is an exchange of services, or brands will send a free product box or something. And then as it continues to do well and build, then we'll get money involved. Okay, this did so well, let's pay you $500 a month for a post every month about this coffee shop. And then it just continues to build from there. But typically it's a trade of product or services when they're that small.
And so a business could find somebody who's a fan of theirs and do that same approach.
100%. I can't tell you how many PR boxes I sent out working for a big corporate business to get people to post about them without even using any of my budget. Hey, yeah. I saw you post about this stuff. We know you love it. We just wanted to say thank you so much for using it. Here's all your 5 favorite things. It cost me next to nothing at cost to send them that stuff. But the value that we reap for keeping those relationships intact, it just serves in.
And I can imagine how many posts about the gift that they got, you know, that they probably made and all of that. So that's,
and if you want to get even more technical, like the brand validity and all that stuff, like it creates this wonderful relationship with this person and the brand. We're like, oh wow, they actually really do care about me as a customer, and they're going to continue to purchase because of that.
Yeah. There is so much more that I'm sure that there is to know about this subject, but I feel like we dove deep and I got a lot of great new ideas about how influencer marketing can be used by both big and small, you know, businesses. And so this has been great. Sam Adams, thank you so very much for hanging out with me and explaining this. If folks are interested in learning more about you and what your agency does, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram if you want to get that personal, just SamAdams7. Or if you want to talk business, you can find me at sunfloweragencies.com, but it's spelled SNFLWR agencies.
So no vowels in sunflower.
No vowels. Nope.
All right. Well, brilliant. We'll have links to that and also to your Instagram on the show notes. And I thank you so very much for enlightening us about influencer marketing.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review and pass along the episode to a friend if you think they can benefit from what you heard here. In the meantime, I'll look forward to seeing you and having you hear us back here on More Perfect Marketing next time. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at npmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.